IVM.
Hi everybody, welcome to the 24th episode of the Sponge Podcast. I'm with Ambi Parmeshwaran. As always, we're going to be discussing chapter 24, You're Fired, from his book Sponge, Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Clients. Hi, Ambi.
Hi, good to be back. Don't fire me today, please.
I'm actually worried about the other happening because you're soon to fire us by not doing any more podcasting episodes.
Have you got a few more to go?
We have a few more to go, but not that many. We're getting there. We're getting towards the end of this run, but we'll figure out what we can do after this.
Good. So you're not going to fire me?
I hope not. So this chapter you're talking, in my mind, this chapter is mostly about threats and how you react to that. But I think let's start off with the story that you mentioned early on, the first story, which is about starting to work with a client who you've been working with for a while who hires a new brand manager.
Yeah. So, you know, You're Fired is a term which was popularized by
he who cannot be named.
Yeah, Mr. Donald Trump when he was anchoring this program called The Apprentice.
And right.
It was usually a good program, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I saw the first season of it. I remember the woman who became who was working in the White House for a while.
She was there.
She was on. She was on Omarosa, something like that. Okay. Yeah.
I thought the content was pretty interesting.
It was.
But it's okay. So you know, in any industry, any business, any job, the word the F word you're scared of is the fired. Right.
Yes.
You're fired. So you kind of dread it, and when you hear it, you know, your back goes up, and you know, you react in very different ways. So this is a story going back to my early days in advertising, 1979 to be precise, and I was a young account executive trainee, and I was handed over this particular account to work on. I was, of course, the lowest level flunky on the account, and there were senior people, you know, working on it. But I was the guy who used to carry all the files and the artworks and all that to meetings.
Right.
So, but, you know, Rediffusion had a great culture of empowering the youngsters. So I used to actually have one-on-one meetings with the client as well, 6 months into the career. So I was called by the client saying, look, can you come over to our office today? So I went to their office. And I met the client who was a marketing manager, and he said, look, we've got a very bright, brand manager who's joined us this week. So I wanted you to meet him. So I said, sir, do you want me to take him through the advertising and all that? So he said, no, you go and talk to him and tell him what all. So the agency had started working with this client about 9 months before, and we had done some pretty good work. And I was also pretty happy that, you know, now I can deal with someone at my level or younger, rather than always going to the marketing head who was way more senior to me. So I walked up to this, I was taken to his cabin and I was introduced and I sat down and I, you know, started telling him, you know, that we're very proud to work on his business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he also... the most dangerous kind of clients to work with are ex-agency guys.
Right.
So they normally think that, you know, they know everything.
Yes.
So within, you know, I was telling him great work. So he said, yeah, I've seen the ads. Okay. But, you know, I want my agency to be very, you know, proactive, very agile, you know.
So what do you do actually? I mean, like, sorry to interrupt the story and we can probably come back to it. But what do you do when somebody uses words like that, right? Which are essentially meaningless words, I think.
So you just let them wash over you.
Okay.
You know? So you just duck and let the kind of wave pass by. Because these are, you know, a lot of clients when they say this, don't realize that a lot of times they are the ones who have to become agile, proactive and responsive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you send stuff to them, they take 1 month to respond.
Yes.
And they say, if you want our agency, be very agile. Hey, sir, I sent you the mail 2 weeks ago. You've not responded yet. Yeah, you know, I was traveling. So what? You know?
Yep.
So he gave me all that stuff. And I said, okay, I was listening to him and seemed to be a friendly kind of a guy.
Right.
So then we came towards something. He wanted some poster to be designed. So So he said, yeah, you know, and I'm going to, you know, do a special campaign in this particular market, and I want this poster to be designed of this size, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, yes, sir, you know, we can get that done. And he said, you know, I want it tomorrow on my table. So, I mean, we were, this meeting was happening around 4 p.m.
Okay.
So I said, tomorrow? He said, yeah, I want it on my table tomorrow morning. I don't know how you'll do it. So I said, you know, boss, you know, I have to go back to office. I don't know whether my creative director will be free to do this. And, you know, we control quality at a very high level. And this is a very important account. So I don't think I can deliver it tomorrow. So give me a few days. I'll come back to you. He said, I don't care a damn. You are an agency. You have to deliver. And I want it delivered tomorrow. So I don't know. You know. I said, look, I can't promise. I'm sorry. Right, I'm an account executive. You're to an account executive trainee. I don't even have a proper visiting card. But, you know, but yeah, I can't promise this. So he said, if I don't have this on my table tomorrow, I'm telling you, I will fire your agency.
Okay.
So I said, oh, hello, hello. This guy has been on the job for 5 days and he's, you know.
Talking about making such a major change.
Yeah, fire and brimstone. So I don't know what got into me. You know, I shouldn't have done it, but you know, I was young. So I got really ball dragged. So I said, look, my friend, you're just new in the job, right? I'm also new, but I've got 6 months experience in this job.
Right.
You've got 5 days. Maybe you have 3 years experience before that, but you're new in this job. I don't think you have the power to fire the agency. In fact, I don't think your boss has the power to fire the agency. If the agency has to be fired, it has to be fired by your grandfather. Now, do you know who's your grandfather? So he said, what do you mean? So I said, yeah, listen, yeah, this account, you know, there's a great relationship at the senior level. You don't threaten me like this, you know. You can't do it. So thank you very much. I am leaving. Oh. Okay, you do whatever you want to do. You want to sack the agency, you know, go ahead and sack the agency.
Right.
Bye-bye. And I got up to leave. Then you should see the guy. From a big tiger, he became a little mouse and a bloody pussycat. Hurry, why are you getting angry? Sit down, no, we'll talk. I said, what do you mean talk? I can't deliver it tomorrow, I'm sorry. You said you'll sack me. Fire the agency. Go ahead, fire the agency, nah? I can't deliver it tomorrow.
Right.
So you want to fire the agency? Fire. Please fire. Please fire the agency. Thank God, fire the agency. I'll have one less account to handle, I'll have less work. Go ahead. Right now, give me a letter. Fire the agency. So he got flustered. So he said, no, why are you getting angry? You know, I was just saying, yaar, I promised my regional manager, I'll give him the art, I'll give him the poster in 3 days' time, 5 days' time. You know, so you have to give me the artwork, I have to get it printed, it'll take time. No, mera naukri ka sawal hai. I said, listen, boss, you can't make these promises without checking how long it takes, right? So I will try and do it quickly, but not tomorrow.
So
and at that time he cooled down. He said, I'm sorry, you know, I said all that, yaar. Don't take it too hard, Evo. And truth was, I delivered the poster, you know, within 2 days' time.
Right, right.
And we turned out to be great friends.
Okay.
Okay. And we used to go on drinking binges together and all that. And many years later I met him on Park Street.
Okay.
You know, walking down, and you know, I'd finished my dinner or something, walking down. I said, Are you're here? We went into, I think, 007 bar and, you know, had a few beers and we talked about the old time, including, including this story. But, you know, I've used this story so many times in my life, and I used to tell my team that barking dogs don't bite.
Right.
If a client says, I will sack you, get up and tell the client, go ahead and walk out.
Right.
He will not be able to sack you.
Yeah.
Only a client who can sack you is a guy who won't tell you he'll sack you.
Yeah, it happens with deliberation.
Yes. So
it's a deep relationship between a company and an agency.
And that's true of any service service organization. Yep. You don't hire and fire your
It's
service
not
partners.
On a whim. You do it after due consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to think through and, you know, do that. So, I mean, today thinking back, I don't know whether I was in my senses when I said all that. But I probably folly of the youth, you know, so I was hot-headed and I said all that. And I tell my guys, you know, look, I think I was too aggressive. I should not have been so aggressive. But hey, it worked, right?
I mean, it comes down to an unrealistic deadline, right? I mean, like, how should one deal with that, right? Because I think that's a problem that comes up in the kinds of fields that we work in fairly regularly. People will throw out a deadline and say that I need this by this day.
Yeah, actually, you know, a lot of time the guy who throws a date at you doesn't want it on that day.
He's anticipating.
So he is anticipating delays.
Yeah.
And therefore, he's throwing some crazy date at you.
Right.
And very often, he's going to be out of town on that day. He's not going to be doing anything with your stuff. You're going to be working day and night,
right,
getting it ready. And then the guy is not going to see it for another 5 days.
Yeah.
So very often, when someone asks, when can you deliver? So the counter question will be, when will you be available?
Right.
You know, you have a serious travel plan, right? Wow. When will you be available to see this? Oh, I will be available, 15 days from now. Okay, we'll present it 15 days from now.
Hmm.
Okay, because my own thing is never commit a date.
Okay.
Without checking your background.
Okay.
So, also, once you committed a date, you have to stick to the date.
Yes,
Which means you need to do enough homework. So, when someone says, can you deliver it in 3 weeks' time?
You have to check.
Last week, some project came, said, I want to deliver it in 3 weeks' time.
Right.
So he said 3 weeks after we received the advance.
Huh.
If you give the advance tomorrow, 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Right.
If you give the advance after 3 weeks,
three weeks from there,
because that advance is needed for me to pay my field people,
correct,
my these people, my those people. I can't pay that.
Right.
Oh, why can't you start? Sorry, we can't start.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a tough one though, man. Getting an advance out of people is like impossible these days.
Yeah, so you ask for a crazy deadline without even, writing a check.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that doesn't work. So the problem is, the other bigger problem is that when you threaten someone, you think that guy is way below you.
Hmm.
Therefore, you're threatening him. But you don't know what that guy can do.
That's an interesting this, right? I mean, like, how does one react to threats? And I mean, like, you're right. I mean, like, you never know at what, you never know the person you're threatening, how they're going to react or what possible ramifications can come out of a threat that they make.
Yeah, so there is this other story in this chapter that about how a poor peon in our Bangalore office, the account executive wanted him to go and deliver a parcel at 5 o'clock or something. And this peon said, I will do it tomorrow morning. And this account executive said, look, you better go and deliver it now. And the peon said, look, I have to go somewhere, so I can't go now. But even if I go now, by the time I reach the client office, it'll be 6:30 and their office will be closed.
Right.
What difference does it make? I'll take it today, I'll take it home, and tomorrow morning I'll deliver. So the account executive said, no, you either take it now and go and deliver it or you're fired.
Right.
This peon, he knew the neighboring office, was a landlord. The neighboring office chairman turns out to be a friend of the chairman of Ulka.
Okay.
So this champion tells this account executive, please wait here, sir. Don't leave. The phone will ring in 5 minutes. You have to answer the call. And he goes and gets the chairman to give him a call. This account executive gets a call. He says, boy, why are you putting a poor man on the road?
Yeah. You never know, yeah. You never know.
So you never know. You think that guy has no power? Probably he has more power than you, man.
Yeah.
So before you tell a guy you're fired, you better think 10 times.
It's an important decision to make. So it cannot be made capriciously.
And as a policy, we used to say, look, never talk of hiring someone who can't get a job.
Okay.
Never.
Oh.
Because at least in a country like India, you don't have the culture of, hiring and firing people.
Right, right, right.
So we used to hate the whole concept of hiring and firing people.
Yeah.
So you hire someone, you're going to hire the someone for life.
Yeah.
And if you're letting someone go, make sure that guy can get a job.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, because of this, but the whole thing is, when you're talking of firing someone, be ready for a dramatic reaction. Right. And without that, don't say the F word.
Right. Now that's bound to happen. So this is somewhat adjacent to it, but it's included in this particular chapter. So I kind of wanted to touch on it a little bit. You have a line in the chapter which says morality is easier to follow 100% rather than 98%. Can you expand on that a little bit? I actually wanted to twist that question a bit and ask you if you think the same is true for business process.
Absolutely. So this is a line which I borrowed from a wonderful little book called How Will You Measure Your Life by Professor Clayton Christensen of Harvard Business School. Now, Clayton, in his book, he writes that if you stick to your morality 100%, it's a lot easier than if you do it 98%, right? And so he gives a story about how he always goes to church on Sundays. And when he was in his college team, he's a very good basketball player, and they had a big final match.
Right.
And so the coach said, you know, can you come and play on a Sunday? So he actually agonized over it. So because his presence in the team would have probably helped the team win. But he goes to church every Sunday.
Okay.
So finally he took a call, said, I will not play. I will go to church. Because he said, look, if I stop this once, it is a slippery slope.
Right.
So you can, it's, therefore you say I'm 100%, and therefore I'm 100%. It's easier to be 100% than 98%.
Right.
So suppose you say, look, our process is 100%, that we will not, I mean, all this thing about Six Sigma, etc. is that, right?
Yeah.
So this is the process we follow all the time.
Right.
It is not as if we will follow this process 98% of the time. You know, the 2% of the time we don't follow it. You know, you're going down a slippery slope.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble, and also you are you're basically creating variance in an area where variance does not need to be.
Absolutely. So you need to make sure therefore this whole thing that it's easier to stick to this 100% of the time. So if you're saying, look, I will not get bullied by a client. I will not get bullied by anyone.
Right.
You got to stick to that 100% of the time, whether it is a small client, medium-sized client, huge client, sorry. I will not get bullied.
Right.
Okay, because I am a professional. I am not a daily wage worker. I come with credentials.
Right.
You have hired me because of my credentials. You can't tell me that you're going to fire me overnight.
Right.
Without giving sufficient cause.
Right.
So that's the whole story it was all about. Right,
right. Interesting. I think that's a good place to stop this episode. We'll be back next week with episode 25, Decisions Made Rapidly. Thanks a lot, Ambi, and see you next week.
Thank you. So I'm not being fired. Thank you
very
much.
Not yet. And never in this life.